See, the Holy Spirit, dear one, is our power source. Let me conclude by saying that repentance is necessary for everyone. For an unbeliever, it's an essential part of salvation. And for believers, it's needed for daily cleansing and continuing fellowship with God. When we refuse to repent, sin gains an increasingly stronger stranglehold on our lives. But as the Bible says, we must resist the devil, and he will flee from us.
Welcome to Your Place of Grace with Evangelist Anthony Sleazes. We're taking the message of salvation, Holy Spirit renewal, and healing through the finished work of Christ to the world by every available means. If you'd like more information about Your Place of Grace Ministries and our resources, visit yourplaceofgrace.com.
Hey there, my friend. This is Anthony Sleazes, and I welcome you to Your Place of Grace podcast. Today we're talking about our need of repentance. Let me ask you this. How many times have you confessed the same sin to the Lord, and each time you feel sorry and tell Him, you won't do it again, you won't do it again, yet deep inside, you doubt that you'll follow through? We've all been there, haven't we? Perhaps the problem is that despite our confessions, we have not entered into genuine repentance. Repentance is vital for salvation and growth in holiness. Before Jesus ascended to heaven, He commissioned His disciples, saying this: repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in His name to all the nations. That's found in Luke 24, verse 47. The Word of God has a lot to say about repentance. Matthew 3, verses 1 and 2. John the Baptist came preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." In Matthew 4:17, a short time later, Jesus came on the scene proclaiming the very same message. Now in Luke 5:32, Jesus stated, "I have not come to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners." In Acts 2:38, Peter said, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Now in 2 Peter 3:9, the Bible says, "The Lord is patient toward you, not willing for any to perish, but that all should come to repentance." Revelation chapters 2 and 3, in the letters to the churches of Asia Minor, that is, Jesus admonished the people to what? To repent. So, some people might be asking, what is repentance? Since the message of repentance is prominent throughout the Scriptures, it's important to accurately understand the biblical meaning of this term. In the New Testament, repentance includes recognition of sin, godly sorrow for that sin, and a commitment to change direction. Regret, grief, and remorse accompany repentance, but are not evidence of it if there is no change in behavior. Boy, that's important. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for repentance is turn. Turn. When one repents, he turns from his sinful way of life to head in the direction of obedience to God. Now, there is a process involved in repentance. Repentance begins with the Holy Spirit's conviction of wrongdoing in our heart. At that point, we become painfully aware of our sin against God, and we feel guilt over it. But it doesn't end there. Genuine repentance results in a change of mind, heart, direction, conduct, and attitude. Instead of tolerating that sin, we now hate it, and turn to a life of obedience to Almighty God, our Father. Various words are used in the New Testament to refer to salvation. Jesus and the Apostle Paul called people to repentance, but John emphasized belief. The reason he wrote his gospel account was, and I quote, "so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name." That's John 20, verse 31. The writers of Scripture weren't led by the Holy Spirit to use all possible words referring to salvation each time they spoke of it. The terms faith, believe, and repent all refer to conversion and can be used interchangeably. You could think of faith and repentance as two sides of the same coin, of salvation, both required. But even though you may only see one mentioned in a particular passage, the other is also implied. Let me give you an example. When Paul and Silas explained to the Philippian jailer how to be saved, they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved." They didn't say repent and believe because only one term was necessary. The concepts go hand in hand. Genuine salvation always results in a changed life. Water baptism is a fitting picture of this conversion. We die to sin, are buried with Christ, and are raised with him to walk in newness of life. Death to sin and new life in Christ is the evidence of genuine salvation. If nothing has changed in our lives, then there has been no repentance, and our faith is merely intellectual. There are some misconceptions about repentance that I need to touch on. When we don't understand that faith and repentance are two sides of salvation, both of which are required, we'll try to separate them. Now, some people claim that repentance is unnecessary for salvation. They see it as self-generated works, but salvation is only by grace through faith. They fail to recognize that both faith and repentance characterize genuine salvation. True believers turn by faith to God and from sin through repentance. Others put repentance before salvation. They think they must clean up their lives before trusting Christ. But they have no power to do so. Salvation and cleansing are the work of God. His Holy Spirit draws us to repentance by bringing conviction of sin and awareness of our need for a Savior. The gospel explains that Christ paid the penalty for our sins with his death on the cross. When we believe and trust him as Savior, our sins are forgiven, and God cleanses us, as he promised in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous, so that he will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So repentance brings an instant change at salvation. Instant. But it's a continual process thereafter. We were radically changed at the moment of salvation. Absolutely. But the cleansing process of God in our lives is usually slow. And it's a daily thing. As He brings an area of sin to mind, we must turn from it by the power of His indwelling Spirit in us. Since the Lord will never stop cleansing us, we must never stop confessing and repenting. So, dear one, confession isn't merely listing our sins to God one by one, thanking Him for His forgiveness and going on with life. It means we say the same thing or agree with God about our sin and what we should do about it. It's seeing our wrongdoing from His perspective. Since He is holy and hates sin, so should we. The Lord wants us to lay it down and walk away from it. True biblical confession includes an attitude of repentance. We are not to confess lightheartedly, but in a truly repentant way that produces victory. Victory over sin through the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit, dear one, is our power source. Let me conclude by saying that repentance is necessary for everyone. For an unbeliever, it's an essential part of salvation. And for believers, it's needed for daily cleansing and continuing fellowship with God. When we refuse to repent, sin gains an increasingly stronger stranglehold on our lives. But as the Bible says, we must resist the devil, and he will flee from us. Dear one, have you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord? Have you? Or maybe you actually did at one time. Maybe it's been years and years ago when you were born again, gave your heart to Jesus, but maybe you've backslidden over the years. Maybe you've been running from God for whatever the reason. Maybe some of you have thought, oh, I've just blown it so bad. God, I don't know how God could ever forgive me for what I've done. Dear one, don't succumb to the lies of the devil, okay? Listen to me. When you sin, don't run from Jesus. Run to Him. Let's run to Him right now, dear one. I want you to pray this prayer with me. No matter who you are, where you are, what state you're in, what mental state, what spiritual state you're in, pray this with me right now with all your heart, out loud. Dear God in heaven, that's right, pray with me. Dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Please forgive me for the way I have lived and for the things I have done. Jesus, cleanse me with your precious blood from all my sin and unrighteousness. With my mouth, I confess the Lord Jesus. In my heart, I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and He is alive. This very moment, I accept Jesus Christ as the Savior of my soul, and I make Him the Lord of my life. And according to God's word, which cannot lie, I am washed. I am cleansed. I am forgiven. I am healed. And I am reborn. And I thank you, my God and my Savior. In Jesus' wonderful name I pray. Amen. And amen. Praise God, my friend. Oh, dear one, if you've prayed that prayer with me right now with all of your heart, you have been made a citizen of heaven. You have been forgiven by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You have been cleansed. You are now a citizen of heaven. If you've prayed that prayer with me, contact me through my website, yourplaceofgrace.com, and say, Tony, I prayed that prayer with you. I've made Jesus my Savior and Lord. I'm going to rejoice with you, and I want to send you some free resources, absolutely free, postage paid, to get you started in your walk with Christ. Praise God. You know what's just happened to you? The Bible says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. You are a new creation in Christ. Praise God. Praise God. I'm so thankful that you took time out of your busy day or evening to listen to this little podcast. And boy, I pray it was a blessing to you. I pray for you guys daily during the course of a week. And I hope that you pray for me and my ministry as well. If you would continue to keep my family and I in prayer and our ministry as well. But also, if this podcast is really truly of value to you, I would ask you to please prayerfully consider going to our website, yourplaceofgrace.com, and clicking on the donate tab and sow good seed into the good ground of Your Place of Grace Ministries. We are reaching out to our world by preaching in various churches across America where we're invited to come and preach and teach. Also, we're beginning a new prison ministry as well, and we sure could use your support for that. We also are looking into entering into the marketplace ministry, touching people in their workplace with the good news of Jesus. So, thank you for listening, and thank you for supporting us through your prayers and finances. Until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may He always have a smiling countenance toward you. And may He give you peace, protection, prosperity, joy unspeakable and full of glory. May He give you laughter and unconditional love within your marriage, family, and home. And may God grant you great favor everywhere you step foot, all the days of your long, long life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you so much for listening to Your Place of Grace with Anthony Sluzes. We trust the podcast was a blessing to you. If you'd like more information about our ministry, resources, testimonials, and to schedule Anthony to speak at your event, go to yourplaceofgrace.com.